Welcome to this special edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. It's an open forum, and it's your time to call with your questions about the Bible, biblical teachings, and practical Christian living. Whatever's on your mind, call 631-955-5400 to be on the program, or text your question to Pastor Bill at 516-367-0391. Now, here's your host for today's open forum, Pastor Bill Shishko.
The dark night of the soul, a lonely private hell. My heart is empty, all the fountains that should run with longings are dried up in me. I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not what I wept for. The only thing that you know is that you are guilty, shameful, and worthless. I fear everyone and everything. My bones wasted away from my groaning all day long. My soul refuses to be comforted. Darkness is my closest companion. All of these statements, and so many more like them, describe what we call depression. Depression, or melancholia, as it was called in generations past, is part of the fallout that came into the world as a result of the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Depression is a painful attack on the mind, an attack by the combined forces of our three great enemies, the world, our own fallen natures, what the Bible calls the flesh, and the devil. God's people in the Bible have experienced it. Job, Jacob, Elijah, Asaph, and Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, come to mind. And no doubt you've experienced it either briefly or for longer periods of time. Pastors and other counselors deal with it regularly, and the people that they're called to serve. Well, today's open forum on A Visit to the Pastor's Study is devoted to your questions and phone calls about depression. So if you want to be on the air as part of the program, just call 631-955-5400 and jot down that number for your calls when you want to be on the air on this weekly Visit to the Pastor's Study, 631-955-5400, or you can text your questions anytime during the week. But particularly for this program, at this number, text questions only, 516-367-0391. Put that under Pastor Bill, that's who I am. And if you put down Pastor Bill and then the number 516-367-0391, you can text your questions anytime during the week. I've got a guest pastor to help me and also to help you as you wrestle with questions about depression. Pastor Mike Plugman of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia, here on Long Island, is in the studio with me. Hey, Pastor Mike, welcome again to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
It's good to be with you once again, Pastor Bill. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. I always think of Pastor Mike as leading what I regard as a model of community ministry. We've talked about that. That's for another day. Pastor Mike, this question has come to us, and I'm sure it reflects what a lot of people are saying or thinking. I feel trapped in my depression. Why doesn't God answer my prayers that I get over this?
One of the thoughts that comes to mind whenever I deal with the why questions, whether it's depression or other issues, is that it's my experience, and I think we see it in Scripture, but I think God's people throughout time have seen and experienced this, that God's way with us usually is a matter of through and not around.
Interesting.
Or
okay.
Over or okay. Under. But it's through.
In all these things. We are
right.
More than conquerors.
Yeah, all right, okay. All these things. Sure. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Now, the power of a preposition.
Yeah. Okay, that, sure. There you have it. And I think that goes to the answer to a large extent. God's way with us, he leads us through the deep valleys and through the dark days. And he has a purpose in it. You know, all God's ways are wise ways, and they're good ways. There isn't a malicious aspect to it with the Lord. You know.
Yeah, to the Lord's people. Yeah. That's right. So it's so important to be in Christ and know that all things work together for our good. And there's long roads and short roads, and God has ordained their length, and we go, as you put it, through them. Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit more about the different. I think of Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. And I think we go back to this. I've often thought, even speaking out in Bohemia, we want relief, and God wants remaking. We're to be remade in His image, and the one that, of course, the ladies love this one. Is that we want to do things with a microwave. God does things with a crock pot. He takes time with them. But I'm interested in more of your thoughts about that.
Well, that's definitely true. We are always in a hurry, particularly when it comes to get us out of discomfort, out of times of trial, out of depression, out of darkness, all these things. We want to get out of it and in a hurry.
Yeah.
But the Lord is the God who takes His time with us to accomplish His ends, which are usually worked out, like you indicated, over time.
Yeah, we're the painkiller generation.
So the grace of patience is the willingness not to impose deadlines on the Lord.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting when we talk about relief, and God does give relief. I mean, one of the things that's always mentioned is exercise, and we live in a very sedentary culture. We sit a lot,
right? Yeah.
And when people get out, there are these things called endorphins, that the chemicals, at least as we understand them now, that are released when we exercise, and they are natural painkillers, which is, I would think, is quite fascinating.
Especially emotional pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just a matter of getting your mind off things. It's a matter that your mind is thinking in different ways when you exercise.
Right.
Pastor Mike, from your pastoral experience, and you've had a lot now. You've been a pastor over 20 years.
20 years.
20 years, okay.
Yeah.
How do you see, when in depression, people will often see realities, genuine realities, much more deeply. Can you talk about that a bit?
That is true. I think it's important during times of depression to remember something. And I was only a teenager when a missionary shared this with me, but it always stuck with me. He said to me, "You've got to remember that in the Christian life, it's very much like walking on ice. You can be very comfortable and really enjoy life, you know, moving about the ice, skating on it, whatever, all kinds of activities, or you can be very fearful, uptight and timid and so forth. But the important thing to remember is that it's not how you feel. That's totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
What you need is thick ice. And in the kingdom of God, you've got thick ice. Those promises of God do not budge.
Yeah.
They're like the rock of Gibraltar underneath you.
Yeah.
And that should bring a measure of joy and of comfort to our souls. Thanksgiving ought to well up within our hearts. And I think during depression, we are too preoccupied about how we feel.
Yeah.
And not about the ice underneath us.
Yeah, of course, a basic in biblical counsel, that's a great analogy. A basic in biblical counseling is rephrasing the way people say what they're thinking. When a person says, "I don't feel like," I'm talking about a person that genuinely trusts in Christ,
right.
"I don't feel like I'm a Christian."
Right.
I think there you crucify your feelings. You are in Christ. You trust in Him alone. On the other hand, when they say, "I don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning," so you may not feel like it. You do it anyway. You emphasize duty. Okay. One of the things I was thinking about as far as feeling these realities, I don't know what your experience has been, but usually when I deal with people that are in very deep depression, they feel like they are under the wrath of God. And their descriptions of their own conviction of sin are very, very real. And that's what I mean. They've kind of come in touch with these realities. By nature, we are children of wrath,
yes,
even as the rest. And yet, the devil is deceiving them. And I think it's very important. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a destroyer. And there that's an example of it. I mean, then you constantly, though, are turning the back to, as you put it, the thick ice of the promises.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree quickly with your adversary is another phrase from the Lord coming to mind, that, you know, when you feel like you're a great sinner, don't reason your way out of that.
Yeah.
But agree with that, because it is the reality. It is the truth. We are great sinners.
Right. But Jesus is a greater Savior.
That's right.
Yeah.
Jesus is a greater Savior. So agree quickly with your adversary, but then move on to the promises of God.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, then what do you do when they say to you, yeah, but I don't believe the promises of God apply to me? Then what do you say to them?
Well, you really don't have a right to tell the Lord off. When he gives you a promise, you don't say no. It's not for me.
Right. I think it was Theodore Zanchius, one of the Protestant reformers dealing with election. And people would say, well, how do I know I'm elect or not? And he would say, that's not your business. Nobody has the right to believe he or she is not elect.
That's right.
Similar to what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So it's kind of a holy reasoning with yourself.
Well, I mean, the psalmist does that, right? Why are you disquieted within me, O my soul? And so forth. He reasons with himself.
Yeah.
And we got to do that too.
Yeah.
And you reason your way back to the promises of God. You got thick ice underneath you. That's an enormous, comforting truth. If it was the other way around, if reality were determined by how we feel, we'd be in big trouble.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
We'd be in big trouble. But it isn't.
The line I used it before is, I don't even feel saved in the morning until I've had a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, I'm still
right,
a saved person. Yeah. The other thing is when people feel that God has forsaken them, and we can all relate to that. You say, Lord, the questioner, I feel trapped in my depression. Why doesn't God answer my prayers that I get over this? You, in the midst of it, you feel that God has forsaken you. What a wonderful comfort to say that curse of being forsaken or being abandoned, Christ bore that curse when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And believers don't, that curse is not part of them at all.
No, we have been delivered from the evil of afflictions. You know, our confession says.
Yeah.
And that's a great little line that I often fall back on.
Yeah, yeah. Not our affliction.
Not from the affliction.
No, but the evil of it.
Right.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
yeah, I think people need to realize evil in the scriptures is not always sinful.
Yeah.
An earthquake is an evil, but it's not sinful.
Yeah. And there is an end. There is a light at the end of the tunnel of darkness. In the kingdom of God, when you're a child of God, weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Oh, right.
And the psalmist says, I would have fainted if I hadn't believed that, if I hadn't believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Isn't that
glorious? See, and there again, he places his feet on the rock of Gibraltar.
Right.
I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly.
God himself makes sure of that. So let come what come. Let the darkness be the darkness for a season, but it will end.
And we're following Jesus, who's the light. Just, you know, this is a special edition of a visit to the pastor's study. Once a month, we do an open forum, and we've gotten questions that have come to us that I've clustered together about depression. And you're welcome to call in with your own questions, too, if you have them. 631-955-5400 will actually put you on the program. Or you can text your question at 516-367-0391. I think, Pastor, and my guest today, Pastor Mike Plugman of the OPC in Bohemia, when people are depressed, they feel that sense of guilt and shame over things. What a glory it is to tell them about the cross.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it's been dealt with. It was buried.
Yeah. Do you use hymns with people? I mean, I find sometimes, you know, people say, "Yeah, I read the scriptures." It's like putting it's like water on a duck's back. But at least in my experience, I found that singing, particularly singing the Psalms or good hymns, will be of help.
Definitely, because someone has said that hymns or the Psalms, but it is great theology put to great poetry and to a great melody that we might have a great doxology.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. So,
that's how it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's memorable, and I particularly like the old hymns because they have meter and rhyme to them, and they just have that stickability to me.
Yeah, the deep content in why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near, me. I mean, never will he leave me. That kind of thing that we sing.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, always to the cross, and then also. I love to tell people you have ways, Pastor Mike, of saying those things more memorably than I do. But our Christian lives are always lived with Christ in Christ, simultaneously in His death and in His resurrection.
That's right.
We died with Him.
That's
and
right.
Gotta keep. We've been raised with Him.
Yeah.
It was 3 days before He was raised.
Yeah.
But that life that we do have it in Him, and He will revive that in us.
He will.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is faithful to His own work, and all those who are at His door knocking and asking and seeking are going to find.
Right. Yeah, the universality of the promises.
No, yes, exactly.
No one should believe the promises don't apply to Him. And, of course, going back, it's interesting. We go back to Christ's death and His resurrection, but also His ascension. He has all authority in heaven and on earth.
Yeah.
And the questioner here, I feel trapped in my depression. Why doesn't God answer my prayers that I get over this? The Lord has given all authority to His Son. And his son doesn't make any mistakes. Just before our break, we have a call from Tyler in Mastic. Tyler, welcome to this week's open forum on A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Hi, how are you, Pastor Shishko? How's everything?
Doing well. I'm not depressed, but we're talking about that today.
Yeah. Me neither. I actually have something I thought of, a hymn that I've come to appreciate a lot, great, especially in the Reformed tradition. I think it's in the OPC and URC Psalter hymnal, the new one that just came out, and it's one that it's become one of my favorite ones. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I think those are two things that might help somebody with depression, is that by obeying God, you trust His promises, and that can be a great way to relinquish depression, because thinking about, the things that God has given us through unity with Christ, I think those are the things that God wants our minds and our hearts to be dwelling on the most.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You keep doing it. Hey, Tyler, thanks very much for the call. I remember when my first church that I was in, I was in college at the time, and I remember asking the pastor, what is it to be filled with the Spirit? Oh, he said, how am I to be filled with the Spirit? He said, read, pray, trust, and obey. So I never forgot that one.
Right.
And before our break, we just add this, because we have another question we want to deal with after the break. Topic today is depression on the open forum. You'll like to call and be on the program, as Tyler was, 631-955-5400, or you can text your question if you're more comfortable with that, 516-367-0391. But natural remedies, we talk about spiritual remedies, singing and the promises. Fascinating with Elijah. Elijah in 1 Kings 19, I alone am left. And he believes God's against him. And while we should never moralize with the Bible, it's interesting. He gives Elijah rest and food, and he makes him run. There's exercise and duty. He's got to get back to his work. So I've always found that fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, those go a long way as a prescription.
Yeah.
Towards remedying and dispelling much of the darkness in our soul.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, the next question we're going to deal with after the break is, what about medication for depression? But let's first of all hear this message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
that great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko here with you this week, our monthly open forum on A Visit to the Pastor's Study. My guest is Pastor Mike Plugman of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia. Clusters of questions about depression. Some we've kind of condensed here. This is one that has come up regularly. How should a Christian... Oh, and if you'd like to call in with your question, 631-955-5400, or if you'd prefer to text your question, 516-367-0391. Pastor Mike, here's the question that came to us. How should a Christian think about medications for depression?
Like so many other things in life, we have helps for various difficulties, and we employ them, particularly in our modern age, all over the place. And I think this is how we should think of medications as well. Medications may not cure the state of our soul, and that's important to remember. That is a supernatural work of God, that he works through the gospel of his Son in our hearts and lives. But there are certainly aids that we can employ. I always tell people, you know, if you have a headache, take an aspirin. Yeah. And it's the same way. You may need help. Now, it may be a little more complex with medications that affect our state of mind, because the side effects are something to be aware of, and often these medications do need to be adjusted by a professional. So it's very important to not just go at it, and there's a reason why these medications aren't really just available over the counter. But so be careful to follow the advice of a professional, but I would not say, as some people do, unfortunately, that, you know, Christians are to stay away from, you know, all medications in this regard. Sometimes we need the help of medication just to begin to get our lives back together again, and even to be able to receive good counsel.
Yeah, that was been my experience, and I'm aware of that view. You don't take... you just shouldn't take medications for this. I've never been able to figure it out. If somebody's got clinical depression and people have been in a depressed state for weeks and you can't even communicate with them, it takes some kind of medication just to level them out. The two texts I think of, one has always intrigued me, that in Jesus didn't do this all the time, but in healing one of the blind men, he used spittle. He actually spit in the mud, and he didn't have to do that. But he used the physical means that in some way or another was connected with that. The other is Paul telling Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach and for your frequent infirmities. Well, that's a substance that you're never to abuse.
Right.
And then I know the analogy, I'm sure you used it too, is if someone breaks a leg, they're going to use a crutch. And hopefully they can not have to use a crutch for the rest of their lives. Well, in the same way, the medication wisely used in the hand of God is a useful thing.
Absolutely, and people should not be embarrassed about it or, feel that somehow they should stay away from it. Obviously, you don't want to overly use it, and it's best to get off of them when you can, but you may have to use them for a time. And please feel free to do so. These are all God-given means that we are given today, and they're there for us to make use of.
Sure. Yeah, for those of you who are taking medication, for not just for depression, for any reason, remember to read the side effects. If you are you're experiencing those, then by all means you need to communicate with your medical doctor, whether it's in most cases it would be a psychiatrist or your GP or whatever. Make sure you communicate those side effects. Use the medicine as it's given to you. I think, Pastor Mike, this is kind of an application of honor your father and your mother. You know, the fifth commandment, you honor those in authority. This is what you're given. And never, ever just stop taking the medication that you're taking or just stop and then go to something else. There can often be, medication's tricky. Anyone will tell you, medication's tricky. It's got to be tweaked. Be careful.
Yeah, and always under the supervision of knowledgeable people.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. You mentioned, Pastor Mike, it's very important. Medication isn't a cure. In the same way a crutch is not a cure. Talk about that a bit. What is the cure if the medication isn't?
Well, ultimately, the work of the grace of God in our hearts. I had a good friend many years ago who lost his wife. He was a missionary in India, lost his wife to a rare tropical disease, was left there with two children, two small children, and not too long after his wife passed away, his son died from the same disease. And it's caused him to sink into a very deep depression. He was left with his daughter, came back to the United States, left the mission field, and tried to get his life back together again. And when I knew him, he was a very happy kind of person, very, no hint of depression. And when he told me the story, I asked him this question: how did you climb out of this dark pit of depression? And he goes, it actually was when I got a hold of the truth that Scripture teaches of the ministry that the Lord Jesus is carrying on my behalf at the right hand of the Father as our heavenly high priest. Because when that came home to me, the depression went away.
Wow, that's powerful.
And that's part of the promises of God. That's part of the strong eyes again.
That's part of his reign. Yeah. That's part of his view. Think of his kingship. Yeah, but he's part as a priest. Yeah, it's so wonderful. He ever lives to make intercession for us.
Yeah.
And of course, isn't it interesting how the devil will trip us up? Because in depression, we begin to think of how bad we are. We'll get insights into our own heart in many ways.
Yeah.
And we fall into a works righteousness pattern. Oh, the Lord's only going to accept me when in fact, the Lord, as He prays for us, forgive is attached to every one of those petitions.
Yeah,
that's glorious.
Yeah. Pastor Lloyd-Jones, many years ago, said something, and it's in one of his writings. I don't remember offhand where it is, but he had this insight that I think is very apropos to what we're talking about. He goes, be very reluctant to put your finger on the pulse of your own happiness.
Very.
And it's true, because it's irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Ultimately, the strong promises are everything.
Absolutely.
How you feel the scope of things is not that important.
and of course, our culture, we're the culture of selfies, right?
Right.
Everything is self-possessed in our culture. No wonder we struggle with more depression. When I remember once, and our son Jonathan, who's a minister, it was a worship service around Good Friday time or something, and other messages that had come had been very self-focused. And so Jonathan gets up, he says, hey, my message to you as you think about the cross is get off of yourselves, folks. Focus on Christ. Praise Praise the Lord for that. Incidentally, you're getting a little taste on this program of what pastoral ministry is all about, and we want you to have that. That's why we always say everyone needs a pastor, and this is the kind of work that pastors do. Well, now we have a brief message from those who are bringing you today's visit to the Pastor's Study. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is brought to you each week at this time by the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in metropolitan New York and Connecticut. Our local congregations are in East Haddam, Connecticut, that's Harvest Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and in Hamden, Connecticut, that's Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Mount Vernon, and then also a congregation in Queens and Fresh Meadows, Reformation Presbyterian Church. Here on Long Island, you'll find Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Franklin Square, and in Syosset, that's Trinity Church, and then the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia, New York. These aren't the only faithful churches in our area, but they're ones that we can commend to you, and we would encourage you to visit them if you don't already have a local church. We also encourage you to visit our website, visitthepastorstudy.org. That's all one word, visitthepastorstudy.org, where you'll find archives of all of the programs and what we call these magazine articles for the ear. Again, that's visitthepastorstudy.org. And I always appreciate your emails. You can email me at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Questions you have about the program or about anything else connected with the work, I invite them. And now, back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. This is our open forum, our monthly open forum on A Visit to the Pastor's Study topic for this month because of clusters of questions that have come. It's about depression. If you'd like to call in with your question, be on the air. 631-955-5400 is the number. And also, if you'd like to text your question, 516-367-0391. We have another pastor on the line who's calling in. This is Pastor John. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a pastor in Michigan. I pastor at Orthodox Presbyterian Church just north of Detroit. And I've been here for about 2.5 years now. And have just that 2.5 years ago was what brought me back into ministry after a 5-year break. Because of depression.
Ooh. Tell us, are you comfortable telling us a little bit about that?
Sure. So my situation was probably in some ways typical of a lot of pastors who've gone through this, in some ways not so typical. I pastored a church right out of seminary. In fact, I went from seminary to pastor the church even before I finished up my final year while I was a pulpit supply at the church. It was a very difficult work. In Appalachia, and kind of a special work of the OPC. They recognized that it wasn't a typical church plant, and so they funded it differently. They saw it more as a mission field. And it was my first ministry. I was very eager to do well, but very inexperienced in a lot of ways, and ended up spending about 9 years there, and just slowly over time because of financial issues and the struggles of the ministry and family health problems, problems with children, problems with my wife's pregnancies, just a various number of factors there ended up pretty burned out and started experiencing depression and anxiety and health, you know, my health wasn't good, my energy was low, feeling very guilty, feeling like I'm a failure, and actually considered leaving the ministry for a time just to recover, but I was advised not to try to do that, and so I sought another call and ended up taking a call and hoping that I would kind of bounce back and rebound, and unfortunately, when I got to the other call, I think I lasted about 3 weeks, and then I was just completely finished, and I stayed there for about 7 months just trying to push through.
Pastor John, let me just ask you one question.
Sure.
You were already in a depressed state.
Mm-hmm.
was it, were the, when you were advised, I assume that you were, to go to this other call, were people aware of what you were going through?
Well, that's the thing. I was trying to make them aware. I was doing my best to try to say, look, something's wrong with me. I'm not bouncing back. My energy's really low. I'm having trouble sleeping. I didn't know really what category to put this in. I think I was probably in denial about, you know, this can't be depression because, you know, pastors shouldn't get depressed.
So I was
trying to make it. Now, in fact, when I met with a session of the church that I was called to, I sat down and had a very frank conversation. I said, look, you know, I am really burned out. I called it burned out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him, I said, you might be getting damaged goods here. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I've never left a church like this and gone to another work to find out what happens when you do that. You know, do you leave everything behind? Does the weight fall off and the problems that you've been dealing with, do they kind of just melt into the background and you start all over, or does it go with you? And so I did try to let people know, but it was just, in the circles that I was in, it was very difficult, for them to understand that, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a topic all of its own. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, Pastor John. Keep going.
Sure.
It's fascinating.
So I went, during that time, when I was at the new call, my elders immediately said, go see a doctor, which is wise advice. I found out I had sleep apnea and began to treat it, but it was too little too late. And so at the end of the 7 months there, I just basically said, guys, I need a break. I'm very sorry. They were very kind. They were very eager to, you know, to make it work. But, I was just too far gone. I could tell that I wasn't going to be able to bounce back while remaining in ministry.
Yeah.
And so my family and I moved again, and I took a job in construction, which is what I did before I was in the ministry. And
so you had skills as a tradesman before you went
to
the ministry. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was a good thing to fall back on in one sense, but what I didn't realize was that you really can't make a living as a tradesman anymore. You know, in terms of being able to support a family on one income, I think it's pretty tough to do that.
Yeah, okay.
So that was a tough time, but it was a good time in the sense that, you know, we just spent 5 years just getting our feet back under us. And during that time, I began to see different doctors, sleep doctors, trying to work through ways I could help with this. I looked at it like it wasn't any one thing that I was going to try to address, but it had to be, addressing on several fronts with diet, exercise, lifestyle changes, my sin. I mean, of course, there's always sin involved. And so, you know, understanding the ways that my own sin had contributed to this, medication was a component in this. And so...
Now, had you taken any medication before for this? Was this the first time?
No, and I was prescribed it several times. But I was so opposed to it. It was just very, psychologically, it was just very hard for me to take that step.
Well, Pastor John, this is the question that came to us. We actually dealt with it in the first half of the program.
Mm-hmm.
How should a Christian think about medication for depression? So now you've been through this. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think, how much time do we have? I really believe that because if you take an approach to it that it's absolutely not a good idea, which is kind of the position I was trained in, you know, that medication is it's just covering the real problem, it's not dealing with, you know, which in a sense is true. It's not the fix in and of itself, you know, it's a piece of the puzzle. But if you have an approach to it that it's, under no circumstances, it's always sinful or it's always, you know, a bad idea in the sense that you're just setting yourself back more and you're making it worse, and you don't look into it when you really need it, then I think you end up needing it more in the end. I think we end up with a lot more people on them.
Interesting.
Because you damage yourself if you just simply try to push through without considering that that might be a piece of the puzzle.
So when I used the first half of the program, we used the analogy of a crutch. It would be a little bit like someone who should be using a crutch and instead just tries to run harder on a wounded leg, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I can remember saying to my wife, you know, at the beginning of the 7 month period where, you know, I was simply trying to hang on in the ministry, I said to her, I said, look, I'm damaging myself. I said, I can't, it's very hard for me to get the people around me to realize that because, you know, if I say that, then that could be easily become something that, you know, they point out is a wrong way of thinking or something that's contributing to the depression. So you have to be very careful. But I could say to her, honestly, I say, look, this is doing something to me. You know, the more I push, the more I just keep on going and pretend like it's okay. And the more I, you know, keep doing the things I do, living on adrenaline, struggling with sleep, we're going to pay for this at some point. And that was the case. I mean, it got me so low that I knew it was going to be quite a period of time. And I was out of the ministry for 5 years.
Well, Pastor John, so going back to these first questions again, the first one was, I feel trapped in my depression. Why doesn't God answer my prayers that I get over this? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've gotten through this. I'm going to use Pastor Mike's phrase here. So how did you get through? We talked about medication, diet,
yeah.
Exercise. Talk about what else, your sleep patterns, how did they get changed?
Well, I think, like I said, you know, we're always, you know, in the middle of it, you're looking for the magic fix. You're looking for the one thing that, you know, will fix this. And for the longest time, I kept seeing it as strictly a spiritual problem. And so as I began to, you know, climb out of this, or actually I should say, get away from, the people that saw it in a very truncated way as simply a spiritual problem, and I began to look at the way that other Christians and even, you know, secular people looked at this, you know, there were several factors that, you know, began the turnaround for me. I could point to about three people in ministry that helped me begin to see this differently. And one of the big factors was just lifting the guilt. So, like, when you're in this, when you're depressed, you're struggling with anxiety, it's almost like there's two levels of the cause here. One is that you're dealing with all the stuff that's causing, you know, you to be anxious or depressed. I mean, you know what that is. I mean, it's just dragging you down, no. Whatever it may be in your life going on that's pushing you beyond what you're, you know, able to bear. But then you have another thing, a layer that is just huge, and it's that I shouldn't feel this way. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
God's upset with me. He's looking at me saying, you know, why aren't you praying your way out of this? Why aren't you trusting me enough? And then you have that along with the stigma.
And then that adds to your sense of guilt, obviously, right?
Sense of guilt, yeah. But then also just, you know, the fear that you're, what are people going to think?
Okay.
What are people going to say? Hiding it, you know, the shame of having to say, look, I'm just broke right now.
So how did the Lord pull you out of that, Pastor John?
Well, I think one of the big things, as I said, was just reading stuff that just began to turn that around. And one of the books that really helped me early on was David Murray's little book, Christians Get Depressed Too.
Okay.
And that was that kind of just began to lift the guilt. I would say that book helped me to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't, you know, lift me out of it, but it helped me to turn around and realize that maybe this isn't, you know, strictly a sin issue. Maybe there's a lot of things going on here that I need to be considering. And so it helped me just to begin to turn around and just walk away from that way I was going. And then another book that was enormously helpful was a little book by Zach Eswine, I think is how you pronounce his name. It's called Spurgeon Sorrows. And David mentions Spurgeon in his book, but Zach goes further and just explores that. And you begin to see, okay, maybe this isn't something that is so terrible after all. Maybe it's not such a shameful thing. Maybe it's something that God can give a person, a pastor, to make him trust more and to make him more effective in ministry.
How did you come to appreciate the gospel more through this?
Yeah. Well, again, I think for a long time I was pretty disillusioned. And
did you ever actually doubt your faith? I mean, your salvation. Did you just doubt the Christian faith through this?
Yeah, yeah. What I would describe it as is I would look back at everything in my ministry and in my Christian life, and I thought, it's all hypocrisy. All I could see was the sin. All I could see was the indwelling sin. All I could see were the bad motives. And it's almost like I couldn't see anything good in it at all. And so did I doubt? Yeah, I doubted that I was ever going to be back in ministry again. I mean, that was, pretty clear to me. And so, did I doubt my salvation? Well, I just certainly wondered sometimes, is any of this really true?
Wow.
It just felt like God was, if he was there, I had no idea what he was doing. I thought I knew him, but I didn't.
But you're, by God's grace, you're out of that, and now you're pastoring a church north of Detroit, right?
Yep. Wow. Yep. By God's grace, yeah.
Would you be open to doing a whole visit to the pastor's study on this topic?
Absolutely, right. Absolutely.
So we're already in the planning stages for upcoming months, so we'll maybe you'll make sure that I have your contact information. Hey, Pastor John, thanks. That's fascinating. I think we just touched the hem of the garment on this one. This is a special open forum with questions, clearly from what's come in. we're hitting an important topic on depression. Pastor Mike Plugman, you've been my guest. You got about 45 seconds or so. Anything else you want to add to what's been said? We're never going to forget the thick ice.
Yeah. I mean, Bill, that's a very important analogy that I counsel myself with many a day, and not putting the finger on my own happiness. That's a pathway you want to be very reluctant to walk down.
Yeah, excellent. I appreciate you being a guest today on the Pastor's Study.
Yeah, no, happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I love working with Pastor Plugman. This is going to sound contradictory, down-to-earth, heavenly horse sense. There you go. How's that? We come to the section that we now call Counsel from the Pastor's Study. A few things. Make sure, if you're starting to go through a bout with depression, do get a full physical. In some cases, there may be actual physical factors that are contributing to that. And let's not be those who make a wrong distinction between soul and body. We're whole people, body and soul, and the soul affects the body. Body affects the soul. Good physical. Also, as far as books go, the ones that Pastor John mentioned, Zach Eswine's Spurgeon's Sorrows, excellent little volume, especially for pastors. David Murray's Christians Get Depressed Too. For ministers, I would add the chapter in Spurgeon's lectures to my students, The Minister's Fainting Fits, which I never realized is really his term for depression. Spurgeon had those himself. And then also in our own day, Edward T. Welch has written, I think, probably the best in-depth treatment of this, Depression, A Stubborn Darkness, and the update edition, Depression, Looking Up from the Stubborn Darkness, which has a little bit more material in it. But Edward T. Welch, we need to be thankful to the Lord for his fine material drawn from the Scriptures in his own heart on depression. And Pastor Mint had referred to another book as well, Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones's book, Spiritual Depression. It's one that addresses some of these themes. In the time that we have left for Counsel from the Pastor's Study, especially for those of you struggling with depression, I really would like you to turn your attention to Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and the first nine verses. I always say that the psalmist has an I problem, not EYE, but first person singular, something like what Pastor Mike developed, I think 20 times in six of the verses in Psalm 77, the psalmist makes reference to himself. He's focused on himself. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. And as he focuses more on that and feels his own sin and failing, he begins to think that God has forsaken him. That, again, is the devil's trap. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. You must lay hold of the fact that part of the good news of the gospel, and not a small part of it, is that Christ was abandoned so that we who abandon ourselves to him might not be. Pivotal verse in Psalm 77 is verse 10. Very difficult to translate. It's literally something like this. This is my weakness. This is my problem. And here again, it's a personal weakness, but what he's saying is essentially what Pastor Mike said. My feelings, my thoughts, my assessments, they're wrong. Years of the right hand of the Most High, years God has been faithful and he will continue to be faithful. Right hand, God is active, and the Most High, God is sovereign over all things. He turns over to God. It's just kind of like Bob Dylan's got to change my way of thinking. It's very similar to the transition our Lord had. Father, if you are willing, let this cup pass from me, that cup of abandonment. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And even as Pastor John mentioned, a transition period. So in depression, there is a transition period when you turn from yourself to God. That comes by grace. And then in verses 11 through 20, that's the way up. Depression is a downward spiral. And beginning at verse 11, there is the way up. The psalmist focuses on the wonderful deeds of God from of old, and he weaves together under the inspiration of God that beautiful picture of the Israelites going through the Red Sea, and he weaves with it some of the pictures that of the flood that covered the whole world. And he ends this way. There's really no resolution of his problem yet, whatever it is, but he said, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." It's what Pastor Mint had mentioned early in the program. God brings us through these things as he brought his people through the Red Sea. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's your share in the resurrection of Christ when the Lord brought Jesus through death, raised him again. Of course, that will be fulfilled in the ultimate sense at the last day when Christ comes back, but it also has proximate fulfillments when the Lord, as it were, raises us to newness of life out of our depression. He leadeth me. O blessed thought, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Rest in that when you're going through your times of depression and every other time. Hey, my thanks to Pastor Mike Plugman, pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Bohemia, New York. Check out our archives of past Visit to the Pastor's Study programs. You can find those on sermonaudio.com, which is a tremendous resource. Just look up A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Or you can go right to our own website, visitthepastorsstudy.org. Visit the Pastor's Study, that's all one word, visitthepastorsstudy.org, archives of all the past programs. I appreciate your feedback, your questions. You can email me, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. I think you got it, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, or you can call me in my study, 516-593-1507. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in the church that is faithful to the Word of God. And never forget that everyone needs a pastor.
You've been listening to a special open forum edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York Incorporated and the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches of Metropolitan New York and Connecticut. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another open forum edition of of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.